we are on Daf Pesvav, and we are, I believe, about four lines before the lines get medium width, pretty far down. I just want to sort of recap what we had spoken about the last time, as this leads into the next part of the Gemara. The Mishnah had recorded a machlokes between the Tanakama, who we assume to be Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosei, whether or not someone who read Kriya Shema and didn't verbalize it sufficiently loud in order to be able to actually hear. Now, one point that I should make here, Rabbi Yonah makes, and I think others make, is that the assumption is dibur doesn't, hirhur does not count. If you think Kriya Shema, the simple understanding is you simply think the words, you don't fulfill your mitzvah Kriya Shema. Hirhur is not considered like dibur. It's not considered like speaking. Although later in the third parak, that Gemara is going to explicitly address this particular issue, whether hirhur is kedibur dummy or not. But for the moment, let's assume, again, kara velo ashmila asna means you mouth the words, but you can't actually hear what you're saying. So the Tanakam, the way it's presented in the Mishnah, this is important, the way it's presented in the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yosei says you're not Yotze. That's clear. B'di'eved, even though you did it this way, it's no good. You don't say B'di'eved, okay, you shouldn't have read it that way. You really should have been able to hear with your ears, but you Yotze. Rabbi Yosei says lo Yotze. The Tanakama says Yotze, which can be read one of two ways. It could be read as, typically when we say Yotze, it means only B'di'eved. It means post facto. Ideally, you should have been Mashmi'a li'ozno. You should have actually made sure that you could hear it with your ears. But if you didn't, you're Yotze. The only question, as the Gemara does mention, is that maybe the formulation of Yotze is only used for Rabbi Yehuda, because for Rabbi Yosei, you have to say lo Yotze, because the alternative formulation of the Mishnah would have been the following. Hakore Yashema, Ein Sarach Lashmi'a La'ozno. Rabbi Yosei Omer, Sarach lahashmi'a la'ozno. The alternative form would have been, the Tanakhama says, if the Tanakhama's position were that even l'chatchila, you don't actually have to be able to hear it, and Rabbi Yosei's position were that l'chatchila, you do have to hear it, but perhaps b'di'evit, you don't, so you would have formulated not yotza and lo yotza, but sarach lahashmi'a la'ozno and sarach lahashmi'a la'ozno. Now, whenever the Mishnah formulates things, it generally adheres to the same formulation, which always leaves an ambiguity. When you use the formulation, if you were to say, the Tanakhama says, Ein sarach lashmi'a la'ozno, you don't have to. That's clear. That's l'chatchila. There's no need whatsoever. And if Rabbi Yosei were to say, tzarach lashmi'a la'ozno, we would be left with the same question in reverse. Maybe tzarach means l'chatchila, you need to, but he agrees that if you don't, you would say. Or maybe he only says tzarach. Not only is it tzarach, but if you don't do it, you're not Yotze. But the only reason he uses the formulation tzarach is because the Tanakhama said, eino tzarach. Yeah. So in this case, we have the reverse problem. Rabbi Yosei clearly holds you're not Yotze, even post facto. The Tanakhama says you are Yotze post facto, but what would the Tanakhama say as far as l'chatchila? So the Gemara had quoted the Mishnah in Trumos that says that someone who is deaf, should not l'chatchila separate truma, but his truma is valid. What is the reason? Because he can't hear the bracha. So the Gemara suggested, initially at least, Rav Chista suggested that is the opinion of Rabbi Yosei. Rabbi Yosei's opinion is that you're not Yotze if you can't hear it. But, and the Gemara says two things here. It says by Kriya Shema, Rabbi Yosei holds that way because Kriya Shema is Doraisa. Kriya Shema is Doraisa. Therefore, Rabbi Yosei says if you can't hear what you're reading, you're not Yotze. But he says, with respect to truma, it's only because of the bracha that the cheresh can hear his own bracha, and the bracha is only the rabbanan. And the Gemara says the second thing: v'lo b'bracha talya milsa. So this is really interesting because there's an ambiguity here, and some of the Rishonim, we're not going to discuss, do pick up on this point. There are two elements about the bracha of truma that make it different, even for Rabbi Yosei, so that post facto you do fulfill your obligation. Number one, the obligation of bracha is only the Rabbanan. But number two, if you don't make the bracha, the truma is good anyway. If you pick up the lulav and esrog, better. Okay, that's the current events. 2 weeks from last night and 2 weeks from tonight. You're going to eat matzah, you're going to eat marah. Let's say you don't make the bracha of Asher Kedushan Tosavet Tzivan Achil Matzah. You're so hungry, you're so looking forward to the cardboard shmur matzah. Some of us do, actually. And you make your hamotzi, because that's good, you have good habit, and you just bite in, you break and bite in, and you forget to make, oi, I forgot to say Asher Kedushan Tosavet Tzivan Achil Matzah. So were you yotzi the matzah? The answer is, of course you were yotzi the matzah. There's no question about it. Assuming that let's assume to get avoid one problem we dealt with, you had kavana. Of course, as you were doing this with mitzvah matzah, but you were so excited you forgot to make the bracha. Of course, you yotze. And if you finished eating matzah and you can't eat any more matzah, you can't even make the bracha afterwards. Many rishonim assume it would be a bracha levatala because you've already done the mitzvah. But so truma. When we talk about the bracha by truma not being a problem, even for Rabbi Yosei, even though the cheresh can't hear himself enunciating the bracha. Well, that could be for two reasons, which the Gemara presents, and which is really the primary reason. Is it because it's only the Rabbanan, the whole institution of brachos? Or is it because it's the bracha, not the mitzvah itself? And the question would be, what would happen if you had a mitzvah which was the Rabbanan, but it was the mitzvah itself? What would Rabbi Yosei say there? You know, from the vantage point, it's not a deraisa, so then maybe Rabbi Yosei would accept it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosei might say that it's only when it's the bracha, when it's sort of the accompaniment to the mitzvah, which never is ma'akev. Even if you didn't make it at all, it wouldn't prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah. And the cases that really fall into this category, as the Gemara is going to talk about, one of them at least in a little bit, Mikra Megillah. The truth is that Mikra Megillah would mean the following. The Cheresh reads the Megillah. And if the Cheresh reads the Megillah, he can't hear it. So obviously, if you say that you have to be able to hear the Megillah and reading it is not enough, you can't blame the Cheresh. There's nothing more the Cheresh can do. He might just be exempt from the mitzvah. The question is, can a Cheresh who can read, who's of sound mind, can he read the Megillah for other people, even though he himself can't hear? So presumably, if you believe that he's not Yotzei himself because he can't hear it, then presumably he can't be motzi others because he's not really obligated in the first place. And when he does do it, he's not doing it in a way that fulfills the obligation. If you believe it's unnecessary to be able to hear it yourself, then presumably the cheresh, who is of sound mind, he's not a deaf mute, you know, who is developmentally disabled. The cheresh can be motzi. He can be motzi himself, even though he can't hear it, as long as he reads the words, and he can motzi others. Now, presumably that cheresh. If this is the case that a cheresh were to be obligated, he would most certainly have to read the Megillah to be yotze himself, because if he can't hear somebody else's kriya, so the only way for him to be yotze is to read it himself. But the Gemara will come to that in a little bit. But that should really depend upon this question, because reading the Megillah itself is only the Rabbanan, but the reading is the mitzvah. You can't say lo bebracha talya milsa. True, the brachos of Al Mikra Megillah and Sha'asan Nisim and Shachianu, so that's La B'bracha telling us. If you don't say the brachos on the Megillah before you read the Megillah, you're Yotzei Megillah reading. If you read from Vayihi B'me'ach HaShreirosh, all the way until V'dover Shalom L'chol Zaro, you fulfilled your obligation. You should have made brachos, yes, but just like by Mitzvah D'oraisa, failure to recite the bracha, assuming the bracha isn't the mitzvah, like Birchas Hamazon, but by mitzvah Storaisa, when you have a mitzvah and the Chazal instituted a bracha, you don't make the bracha, you're still yotzi the mitzvah. The same thing is true by mitzvah Rabbanan. So that's where the Gemara initially suggested that this would be Rabbi Yosei's opinion. So then the Gemara asked, how do you know the Mishnah? How do you know the Mishnah in Trumas is Rabbi Yosei's opinion? Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And Rabbi Yehuda, forgetting about what Rabbi Yosei holds, that would be complicated, because presumably Rabbi Yosei also, in other words, the Mishnah Trumas, Rabbi Yosei has to agree to. Even if Rabbi Yosei says the bracha is no good because the Cheresh can't hear his own bracha, you can't say that the Truma is not Truma, because if you don't make the bracha at all, the Truma is valid. So, but the Gemara wants to suggest that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Yosei that at least l'chatchila, you have to be able to hear what you're saying. In order to read Kriya Shema properly, Rabbi Yehuda might agree that you have to be able to hear it. If you didn't, then Rabbi Yehuda says you're Yotzei. So the Gemara asked, how do you know that the Mishnah in Trumas has to be Rabbi Yosei? Maybe it could be Rabbi Yehuda, I would say, as well, because Rabbi Yehuda by Kriya Shema only says Yatza. He doesn't say that you can do it in an ideal fashion. So the Gemara then says, no. The Gemara says the reason, as I explained at the beginning of Shir this morning, the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says Yotzah is because Rabbi Yossi says Lo Yotzah. But really, right now, the Gemara is suggesting Rabbi Yehuda holds Lechatchila, you do not have to be able to hear your own Kriya Shema. As long as you articulate the words, Rabbi Yehuda says that you are Yotzah. And Rabbi Yossi, he says Lechatchila, it's good. And Rabbi Yossi says it's not even good B'diyeh. So we have right now two extremes. So now, I think we're up to the, as I said, the fourth to last of the narrowest lines in the Gemara. The Gemara says the following. B'may, the last word on the line. B'mayu kimta ki Rabbi Yose. You want to say that the Mishnah and Trumos that says that the Cheresh, who can only do this, who's lechatchila not allowed to separate Truma, you want to say that it's Rabbi Yose and that it's not Rabbi Yehuda. That's crucial. It's not Rabbi Yehuda. Not Rabbi Yehuda. So all we have right now are the following effectively three possible positions. We have Rabbi Yehuda's position that it's always good. It doesn't matter. Mitzvah Daraisa, Mitzvah Rabbanon, it's good l'chatchila to read even if you can't hear it. And then we have Rabbi Yosei's opinion, which is that you have to hear it l'chatchila, and whether or not your Yotzei, if you didn't, let's say depends upon whether it's a Daraisa or the Rabbanon. Well, just take that example for now. So Rabbi Yosei says that if the obligation is the Rabbanon, then you're Yotzei b'di'evet. But if the obligation is Doraisa, you're not even Yotzei post facto. You're not even Yotzei b'di'evet. But that means the following. That means that there is no Tana who believes that by a mitzvah Doraisa, l'chatchila, you must be able to hear, but b'di'evet, you're not Yotzei. Because Rabbi Yehuda, right now, the Gemara's position is, don't need to worry about it at all, even by Kriya Shema. And obviously, if not, you don't need by Kriya Shema, you certainly don't need by mitzvahs to Rabbanon. Rabbi Yosei's opinion is you're not Yotzei by mitzvahs d'oraisa. You're only Yotzei by mitzvahs d'rabbanon. So there's nobody who holds that by mitzvahs d'oraisa, you need it l'chatchila, but b'di'eved, you are Yotzei. So now the Gemara says the following on the third to the last narrow line. V'yalahod etanya lo yivarech adam birchas hamazon b'libo v'im birech yotza. So you're not supposed to bench b'libo. And let's assume b'libo means that we summon everything shown him say here. It means, well, you can't hear it. You have to articulate it, even if you can't hear it. But so the Braisa says, you shouldn't bench in a way that you can't hear it. So we're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa, where you fulfill the mitzvah by reading it, but you didn't hear it with your ears. And the position of the Braisa is that you're yotzei b'di'eved, post facto, but ideally you're not supposed to do it that way. So the Gemara says, Mani, who's the author of this Braisa? Lo Rabbi Yosei, velo Rabbi Yehuda. It's neither Rabbi Yosei nor Rabbi Yehuda. D'i Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar l'chatchila nami yatzah. Rabbi Yehuda says, l'chatchila, you can read Kriya Shema without hearing it. So presumably, Birchas Hamazon should be the same thing. And I Rabbi Yosei, the Yevet nami lo. We just said that Rabbi Yosei, only by the Rabbanans does he say it's good post facto. But by the Raises, like he says in the Mishnah by Kriya Shema, lo yatzah, so you're not Yotzei by Birchas Hamazon either. So the Gemara says, okay, Elamai. So you know what you're going to say? You're going to push me back to the previous place. Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to say that this Braisa of Birchas Hamazon is in fact the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Udi Eved in the Chatchila lo. And you're going to say the following. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that even by mitzvahs d'oraisa, if you don't hear what you're reading, you're Yotzei, but that's only b'di'eved. L'chatchila, you're supposed to be able to hear it. Which would mean the following. You'd have to say the Mishnah, when Rabbi Yehuda says yatzah, he means really, literally yatzah. You only fulfill your obligation post facto. Rabbi Yossi says, you're not Yotzei at all. Rabbi Yehuda says post facto, you're Yotzei. And the Mishnah in Trumos that says that a Cheresh preferably should not separate Truma, but b'di'eved, it's good. That presumably could be both Rabbi Yosei and Rabbi Yehuda. And finally, the Braisa that says by Birchas Hamazon, you're supposed to hear it, but if you don't, you're Yotzei. That's obviously Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Yosei, because Rabbi Yosei says by Doraisas, you're not even Yotzei post facto. Rabbi Yehuda says you're Yotzei, but only post facto. So if you're going to say that, now the Gemara is going to throw in one more data point, the fourth data point, right? So far we have the Mishnah about the Machlokas by Kriya Shema. We have an anonymous Mishnah, only one opinion about a Cheresh separating Truma. we have this brisa, anonymous brisa, that says the Birchas Hamazon l'chatchila you must hear, but b'di'evad yotze. So now the Gemara says a fourth data point. Elohadetani, Rabbi Yehuda Breid, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Chereish Hamedaber ve'eno Shomea Torem l'chatchila. There's a brisa that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, taught. So he's an Amora. We don't know who this Tana is, who the author of this brisa is, who says that a chereish is l'chatchila allowed to separate truma, even though he can't hear what he is enunciating. So Mani, who is the opinion here? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Yose. It can't be either Rabbi Yehuda's opinion or Rabbi Yose's opinion. E Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar di'evet in l'chatchila lo. For Rabbi Yehuda, he says that you're yotze if you don't hear what you're saying, but that's only post facto. And this brisa of Rabbi Yehuda Breid of Shimon Pasi says that it's permissible even l'chatchila. And E Rabbi Yose ha'amar di'evet namilo. Rabbi Yose says b'di'evet you're not yotze. So the truth is the Gemara is going to go down a different path, but I wanted to just make one brief observation, which is, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't raise the possibility. I didn't see any Rishonim suggest this. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that by De'oraisas, l'chatchila, you're supposed to be able to hear what you're doing, but by De'evid, you don't have to. But maybe by De'rabanans, he would say that even l'chatchila, you don't have to be able to hear what you're saying. Or similarly, you could say Rabbi Yehuda says that when the mitzvah involves kriya, mitzvah involves hearing something, reading and hearing something, even if it's the Rabbanon, you have to be able to hear it. But if it's only the bracha of a mitzvah, so then Rabbi Yehuda would say, even if you don't hear the bracha, you don't hear your own bracha, you still fulfill, it's still l'chatchila. But the Gemara doesn't want to go down that path. The Gemara would prefer, apparently, to see people's position potentially hold across the board, by mitzvahs to Rabbanah and by mitzvahs to Raisa. So the Gemara now suggests the following, which is Ella Le'olam, the third to last medium with line at the end, Ella Le'olam Rabbi Yehuda. Really, really, the Raisa of Rabbi Yehuda Bereid of Shimon and Pazi is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Va'afilu L'chatchila Nami. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah by Kriya Shema. And Rabbi Yehuda is also the author, that's the Gemara suggestion, of the Brais of Yehuda Breid Shimon Pasi, who says that a Chereish L'chatchila can separate Truma, even though he can't hear his own bracha. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So we know Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We know Rabbi Yose's opinion. You're not even Yotze B'di'evet, certainly by Mitzvah Doraisa. But now we have to explain who is that in-between position of the Brais of Birchas Hamazon, that l'chatchila you must hear, but b'di'evad yotze. So the Gemara says, v'lokasha, hodidei, hodirabe. Rabbi Yehuda actually recorded two opinions. One was his own, and one was in the name of one of his rabbeim. D'tanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it probably should be the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, hakorei es shema, tzorech sheyashmiya li'osno, shenemar, shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Rabbi Yehuda, in this brisa, quotes the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who I didn't really know was Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe. Rabbi Akiva was his Rebbe. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. He quotes from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that if you read Shema, at least Tzorech L'Hashmi Eliyosna. Tzorech L'Hashmi Eliyosna. Now, the way the Gemara reads this right now, although it is not absolutely unambiguous, the Gemara will talk about that later, is Tzorech L'Chatchila. You should. Ideally, you're supposed to do so. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say that if you didn't hear the Kriya Shema that you read, you're still Yotze. So the Gemara now says, the Gemara's solution is the following. The Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda says Yotze by Kriya Shema, is even l'chatchila. The Brais of Rabbi Yehuda Breid Shimon Pasi that says that Chereish ken l'chatchila bitoreim, that's also Rabbi Yehuda. The Brais of Birchas Hamazon, which says l'chatchila you must hear it, but b'di'evad you Yotze, is Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but he himself doesn't hold of that opinion. And finally, that would possibly be the Mishnah in Trumos that says that a Chereish L'chatchila shouldn't separate Truma because he can't hear the Bracha. And then you're left with Rabbi Yose's opinion that you're not Yotze when you can't hear. So that's the Gemara solution to find another third opinion here. Now, in that brisa, though, the Gemara now quotes a second opinion. Rabbi Meir, Amar le Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said to Rabbi Yehuda, Harehu Omer, Asher Anochi Mitzavacha Hayom, Al Levavecha. Rabbi Meir says that it's achar kavana salev, hein hein advarim. You don't actually be able to hear it. As long as you have kavanas halev, as long as it's in your heart. And again, you could say, is it mean you're thinking it, or you have to read it, but you don't have to hear it. So Rabbi Meir says, yein sarach, there's absolutely no need to do so. So now, once you get to this point, you realize, as the Gemara is about to say, you have an almost explicit opinion that there's absolutely no need to hear the Kriya Shema that you're reading. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara says on the second of the widest lines, Hashta the Asas Lahachi, once you reach this point of finding Rabbi Meir, discovering Rabbi Meir's opinion, so Afilu Tema Rabbi Yehuda Karabe Sfirale. You could say that Rabbi Yehuda himself in the Mishnah of Kriya Shema holds like his Rabbi, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. In the Mishnah of Kriya Shema, it says that Karavalo Ashmili Azno Yatsa. Rabbi Yehuda means only B'di'evet. A Cheresh is only B'di'evet is his Truma. Truma is L'chatchila, he's not supposed to do it. The first anonymous Braisa Birchas Hamazon, as well as the explicit one attributed to Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, are both Rabbi Yehuda, and that is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yose says you're not Yotze. Rabbi Yehuda says you're Yotze B'di'evet. And if you're looking for the author of the Braisa of Rabbi Yehuda Bereide B'Shimer and Pazi, who says that a Cheresh can L'chatchila separate Truma, even though he can't hear the Bracha, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Meir says, by Kriya Shema, there's no need whatsoever to hear it. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says, Tzarech, which means L'chatchila. Rabbi Meir says, no, don't need it, not necessarily at all. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says. V'lo kasha, ha-Rabbi Meir, ha-Rabbi Yehuda. The solution to the problem is, we have three Tanaim. Rabbi Yose is the most machmir, you're not Yotze B'di'evet. Rabbi Yehuda is L'chatchila, you should hear it, B'di'evet, you're Yotze. Rabbi Meir says, it's totally unnecessary. Okay. So that's where the Gemara leaves the data we have so far. And now they quote the last Mishnah. Tanan Hossa, Hakol Ksherim Likros as HaMegillah. Anybody is kosher to read a Megillah. Chutz, and the assumption is obviously it means to help others fulfill their obligation, to be motzi others, because for yourself, it is virtually, not totally, virtually inconceivable to be chayiv yourself to hear the Megillah, but not be able to read it for yourself. There's only one person that clearly seems to be chayiv and cannot be motzi himself or herself. That's a case of someone who's a half Eved, half Ben Chorin. Chatzio Eved, Chatzio Ben Chorin, or Chatzio Shivcha, Chatzio Bas Chorin would be the same din. That's fun for the Beis Medrash boys. Josh, you look puzzled, but you have someone who owns, to give it a simple case, two men who own an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani is Jewish. Shifra Kananis is Jewish. But Eved is only chayiv in the same mitzvah as an Isha, probably for a different reason. If one of the two owners frees the Eved, you now have someone who is half Eved Kanani, half free Jew, free Jew. Mm-hmm. And he's presumably chayiv in all the mitzvahs he was chayiv when he was an Eved. But the problem is the half side of Eved, whatever, when he reads for himself, there are two halves that are reading and being motzi the other two halves, and that may not work. Chetzio Eved Chetzio Ben Chorin is, as I said, fun for the Beis Medrash boys. What happens if a Chetzio Eved Chetzio Ben Chorin tries to marry a woman? Or what if you have a Shivcha who's half Shivcha, half free, and a Jewish man, a Ben Yisrael, gives her kiddushin? Is she half married? What's the story? So there are a number of sugyos in a few different places in Chas. That's not our problem right now. But the bottom line is, essentially everybody else, if you're chayiv, you can be motzi yourself at least. Because whatever level of obligation you have, you can generate when you read. Now, in this case, the Mishnah says everybody can
Rabbi, real quick, I think you mentioned it before, but I don't remember what the answer is. What's the story with a blind person?
What's the story with?
Blind.
So let's assume blind. We paskin, I believe, that blind people are chayiv in all mitzvahs d'oraisa. There is a machlokas atanoim. There is a machlokas atanoim whether blind people are chayiv in mitzvahs or not. It would appear everybody holds their chayiv at least in the rabbanon. I believe we assume that blind people are chayiv in d'oraisa. We don't accept the drasha of from our, from.
No, but you were asking about, so if they are chayiv, they certainly can fulfill it by themselves, I guess, unless they memorize it.
No. They're generally chayiv. They're probably pata from Megillah because they can't read it because it has to be read mitoch haksav.
Okay.
So, but I mean, that there's a general, I didn't realize you're asking, there's a general machlokas about whether blind people are chayiv in mitzvahs. Midoraisa, but we assume it is, but there are certain mitzvahs that they're very clearly exempt from because they involve seeing of some variety or another. I'm pretty sure that if that the blind person is pater, may ali al regel. Because since he's coming, the Gemara has a drasha, he has to be seen. And they read it as Yira and Yira'a. So if he can't see, he can't be seen. And not only that, but the Gemara says that a summa ba'achas me'enav, someone who's blind in one eye, is also patur me'aliyah l'regel. Because at least the simple reading of the Gemara is you come to see the way you are seen. And just as God sees you, kivayocho, with two eyes, you have to see with two eyes also. But those are specific mitzvahs that a blind person are exempt from just because he can't see. But all of the mitzvahs, he's chayav. In fact, it's coming up in 2 weeks. There's a discussion. There's one shita in the Gemara in Pesachim. I think it's Daf Kuf Yud Zayin or Kuf Yud Ches. One Amora who says that a blind person is potter from the mitzvah Haggadah because it say, you say ba'avur zeh. Like, you know, you're supposed to point to be able to see it. And we don't, that opinion is rejected, it would appear. But derech klal derchayev, not the specific case. So the Mishnah says, hakol ksherim likor sasamagila, chutz mecheresh shoteh v'katan. Now, presumably a shoteh is exempt because he's not chayev in any mitzvahs, and if he's not chayev in any mitzvahs, then he can't be motzi others. That's fine. And the same thing should be true for a katan. A katan is not chayiv. It depends. We're going to see in a little bit what might be different kinds of katana. But let's assume a katan at a certain age, certainly some of your kids, Josh, not all of them maybe, would not be considered b'nei das for most legal purposes in any context. So they wouldn't be, they're not chayiv. They can't be motzi anybody else. But the cheresh is the very interesting case. See, normally when you read this Mishnah, oh, kol ksherim likros samagila chutz mecheresh shoteh v'katan, you say, yeah, cheresh shoteh v'katan. Until you stop and realize, not so fast, folks, because normally when we say cheresh shoteh v'katan, a cheresh is someone who is, the Gemara says, cheresh shedibru chachamim b'chol makom einu shemeh v'einu medaber. He's developmentally disabled, so he's not a full bardas, so he's not chayv and can't be motzi others. He's like a shoteh, but a different kind, the different kinds of challenges. Except for, you realize immediately, the cheresh in the Mishnah Megillah can't be a cheresh eino shameh eino medaber. Because if he's eino medaber, of course he's not kasher likros of the Megillah. It's not that he's not kasher likros of the Megillah. He can't read the Megillah. So, by the way, this is not the approach our Gemara is going to take at all. The Bavli doesn't take this approach, but the Yerushalmi cites an opinion that cheresh here is just what we call ashigra delishna. Cheresh doesn't belong in the Mishnah. It's just habit because the Tana always teaches cheresh shoteh v'katan, cheresh shoteh v'katan. So you got the Mishnah Megillah, the shoteh v'katan, cheresh shoteh v'katan. But the reality is cheresh doesn't belong in the Mishnah because it doesn't fit the pattern of shoteh v'katan. And it's worth noting, or it's worth really articulating, if we are in fact to adopt the position that cheresh shoteh v'katan cannot read the Megillah for someone else to be motzi them, they would fundamentally have to be for two different reasons. In other words, shoteh v'katan are not motzi others because they're not b'nei das to start with, and that's why they're not chayiv. The cheresh can't be motzi others, presumably, because he can't hear what he's reading, which might then generate an exemption from him as well from the mitzvah. But it's not because the way a cheresh normally is not a bardas. This cheresh is chayiv in almost all mitzvahs. Maybe not mikra megillah, maybe I don't know what the story is. So it's very odd the Mishnah should list cheresh of the katan. But if you let's say you're learning Mishnayis yourself or you're learning with one of your children, and then you just read this Mishnah, it's a cheresh of the katan. Until you stop and think, one second, this doesn't make any sense because how does the cheresh read? So the Gemara now says the following. We call Rabbi, yes.
No, a cheresh. There is a language that a cheresh has. So can a cheresh use sign language to read the Megillah for other cheroshim? I mean, that's the proper language. You would say, because there is a language, and Kershim, they understand each other.
So I would say the following. Firstly, you're remember, you're working with an assumption you have someone who's cheresh who's a deaf mute but is a bardas, which the poskim talk about, right? In other words, that was not a typical occurrence until a relatively modern era, where I guess where you have someone who was a deaf mute but was sort of fully cognitive and fully intellectually developed because they developed a way of communication. Poskim talk about what the status of that of such a person is. The pashtus is that someone who is a cheresh, who is not shomea and not medaber, but he's of sound mind, is a bardas. He's chayv in anything that he's able to fulfill, anything able to hear or something like that. I'm going to work with that assumption. I don't think, however, you would have to say that a cheresh would, you know, a cheresh who can't hear presumably be potter from the Megillah, because he can't hear it, sign language, I would think, does not fulfill the obligation because it's not a form of Kriya. The Gemara does speak, and Mishnah Megillah talks about reading the Megillah in other languages, but you're reading the Megillah, right? You are articulating the Megillah. In a certain sense, Isaac, if you know, the cheresh signaling is no different than holding up the Megillah and letting other people read it themselves, like the way you silently read a book. So my assumption would be that there's no obligation upon, I mean, it's an interesting question. If you were to say that a cheresh who can hear, can read, who knows how to read and can motzi himself and maybe others, even though he can't hear, but because he's reading it, then what is the obligation of a cheresh who doesn't know how to read the Megillah, him or herself? Because they can't hear it. Nobody can do it for them because they can't hear it. And what if they can't read it? But I think that if you were talking about sign language, that's a form of communication, but it's not a form of Kriya. And I assume that the Takana is Mikra Megillah. Okay, so now the Gemara quote, the Mishnah quotes, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Bekatan. The Gemara will talk about that in a little bit. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're yotze with a katan reading it. I think the Gemara will talk about it here. Rabbi Yehuda says, or Tosaf says, it must be a katan shehigia lechinuch. A katan shehigia lechinuch. And the Gemara will sort of say that later. So now the Gemara says the following. Man tana cheresh di'evet nami lo. Who is the Tana who says that the cheresh cannot be motzi the rabbim yudei chovasam? And presumably the reason he can't be motzi them is because he can't hear it himself. So the Gemara is, Amar Rav Matana, Rabbi Yosehi, Tznana, Korei Shema, Velo Hishmiya, La Ozno, Yotza, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosei Omer, Lo Yotza. So they quote our Mishnah, or so it looks like our Mishnah, with Divrei Rabbi Yehuda added. Rabbi Yosei is the one who says, you're not Yotze Kriya Shema if you can't hear it. Therefore, presumably, you're not Yotze Mikra Megillah if you can't hear it. And therefore, the cheresh shouldn't be chayv in Mikra Megillah, and the cheresh can't be motzi others in Mikra Megillah. So now the Gemara says, "Umimai de Rabbi Yosehi udiyeved nami lo." Who says that the Mishnah Megillah is Rabbi Yosei, who says that when it says a cheresh is not kosher likros as a Megillah, that means that b'diyeved he's not kosher. Dilma Rabbi Yehudahi. Maybe the author of the Mishnah in Megillah that says Hakol Ksherim Likur Sasa Megillah Chutz Mei Cheresh, maybe that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. It only means Chutz Mei Cheresh L'chatchila, that L'chatchila a Cheresh shouldn't read for others because he can't hear it himself when he's reading it. And since that's only a B'di'evan, it's only a B'di'evan for him to be motzi others. But ideally, he shouldn't be the one to read. So the Gemara says, Lo Sagadaitach, that can't be. The Katani, Cheresh Dumya the Shotevakatan. They list the three together. Cheresh Shotevakatan. Ma Shotevakatan, the Evet Nami Lo, Av Cheresh, the Evet Nami Lo. Just as when it says Shotevakatan are not Kosher Likros, it means they're not Kosher Likros and you're not Yotze when they read it. So too, it must be, there must be a degree of uniformity in the formulation of the Mishnah that a Cheresh, you don't fulfill your obligation at all. That's why the Gemara, that's why Ramatana wants to say that it is Rabbi Yosei's opinion. So now the Gemara says, "V'dilma haki de Isa, v'haki de Isa." Who says that it has to be exactly the same? It is true. All three, Cheresh, Shota, and Katan, l'chatchila, you cannot have them read the Megillah. it also happens to be that b'di'eved shoten katanat yotze. But if the reason why the Mishnah can put them together is because it tells us that these three people are not l'chatchil the kasha the grossest hamigillah. On top of that, it happens to be two you're not yotze, but maybe not all three. So now the Gemara says, tries a different tact and says, no, one second. Umi matzis l'ukma k'Rabbi Yehuda. And you can't say it's Rabbi Yehuda. Hamidatani sefer Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan michlal the resha lav Rabbi Yehuda. Hakol sherem likrosus hamigila chutz cheresot b'katan v'Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. So obviously, if Rabbi Yehuda speaks up at the end, the Tanakama is not Rabbi Yehuda. So you can't say the Tanakama is Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, ah, v'dilma kula Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Utrei gavne katan. There are two kinds of katanim. V'chasuri mechasuri. The Mishnah is missing a line. V'hachi katani. Hakol k'sherim likrosas hamigillah. Chutz mecheri shota v'katan. But b'med var mamurim. B'katan shelo higia l'chinuch. Aval katan shehigia l'chinuch. Afilu l'chatchila kasher. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Sh'Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'katan. So the Gemara suggests it could be you have to understand the Mishnah is missing something. And the Mishnah is saying the following. Cheri shota v'katan are not k'sherim likrosas hamigillah. At least l'chatchila. Sometimes you're yotze, sometimes you're not yotze. A cheresh or yotze, shota v'katan, you're not yotze. But Rabbi Yehuda says that's only true that l'chatchila a katan can't read the Megillah, and you're not even yotze, by a katan shehigia l'chinuch. But by a katan shelo higia l'chinuch, so then Tosfos says, by a katan shehigia l'chinuch, Rabbi Yehuda says not only can he read the Megillah and be motzi you, he can do that l'chatchila. So it turns out for Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is suggesting, the way you could read the Mishnah Megillah is the following. There are three categories. There are those people who are not kshevim to read the Megillah, and you're not yotze if they do it. Namely, a shote and a katan who hasn't reached the age of chinuch. Category number two are a situation where someone, l'chatchila, shouldn't read the Megillah, but b'di'eved you're yotze. That's a cheresh, who can't hear but can speak. And category number three of someone who can read the Megillah l'chatchila, even though he's not a regular gadol, is a katan shehigia l'chinuch. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Okay. So now the Gemara then challenges this. Elahad de Tani Rabbi Yehuda v'rei de Rishim ben Pazi. I'm sorry. B'mayu kimta ki Rabbi Yehuda u'di'eved in l'chatchila lo. So based upon your interpretation now, and now we're going back, because this is the exact same thing that happened at our Mishnah with Rabbi Yehuda. You're suggesting Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a cheresh who cannot hear, even though he can speak, l'chatchila may not read the Megillah for others, but b'di'eved it's good. So if you're going to say that that's Rabbi Yehuda's position, as opposed to reading the Mishnah, that you're not even yotze b'di'eved, and it's Rabbi Yose's position, so then elahad d'tani Rabbi Yehuda b'rei d'vishim ben Pasi, money. Who is that? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef. For the exact same reason the Gemara said earlier. It's basically going to repeat this, the whole structure now. E Rabbi Yehuda, the Eved in Lechatchila. Rabbi Yehuda said that you can only do it by the Eved, not Lechatchila. Rabbi Yehuda, Breid of Shimon Pasi says that a deaf person, Lechatchila, may separate from making the bracha. The Lo Rabbi Yosef. And it's Rabbi Yose, Ha'amar Filu Di'eved Namidlo. Rabbi Yose certainly would hold that a Cheresh cannot l'chatchila separate Truma. Ella, so the Gemara says, Ella Mai, Rabbi Yehuda. What do you want to say? That the Braisa of Rabbi Yehuda, Breidiv Shem Pazi, is Rabbi Yehuda, the Filu l'chatchila Nami. And even Rabbi Yehuda believes that l'chatchila Cheresh can do things. Which means now, even though the Gemara doesn't spell it out, that you're forced to go back and say the Mishnah Megillah is Rabbi Yose's opinion that if a Cheresh reads the Megillah, you're not Yotze Ibn Bidiyavid, because he can't hear it. He's therefore not Chayiv, he can't be Motzi others, which would have been Ramatana's suggestion. But then the Gemara says, so now what do we have? We have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that a Cheresh is L'chatchila good. We have Rabbi Yose's opinion that Bidiyavid he's no good. So we have the same problem. Elahad Tanya. Lo yivarech adam birchas hamazon belibo ve'imbirech yatza. So l'chatchila you have to hear the birchas hamazon, but not b'di'eved. Money lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Yose, because e Rabbi Yehuda ha'amar afilu l'chatchila nami. Rabbi Yehuda believes it's good even ideally, and e Rabbi Yose ha'amar afilu d'eved nami lo. So it's the exact same problem we had in the previous summit. It's almost as if this is the same sugya repeated on a different Mishnah. It originally, we have it initially here on the Mishnah in Brachos, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion by Shema, and now they take it to the Mishnah in Megillah. So the Gemara gives the exact same approach. The Gemara says, no, Le'olam Rabbi Yehudahi, Vafil L'chad Chilanami. That really, the rice of Yehuda Rishim and Pazing is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that L'chad Chila, you don't even, the Cheresh doesn't even need, you don't even need to hear. And the Mishnah Megillah is Rabbi Yose, Cheresh Shunat Yotze B'dievas, V'lo Kasha. Where, what do you do with the Mishnah about Birchas HaMazon, that L'chad Chila, no, B'dievas, yes. Hadidei, Hadarabe, the Tanya, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Mishim Rabbi, Laza Ben Azaria, HaKorei Shema, Tzorach Sheyach Shemila, Azno Shenem HaShema Yisrael. So exact same solution as before. And then Amar Lo Rabbi Meir, Harehu Omer, Sheon Ochim Yitzav Chayom Alo Avecha, Achar Kavana Salev, Hein Hein Hadvarim. Rabbi Meir says, L'chad Chila, you don't even need to be able to hear it. And now the Gemara says, ah, Hashta the Osis Lahachi, Afilu Tema Rabbi Yehuda Karabe Sfirulai. Now, maybe Rabbi Yehuda does consistently hold. He consistently holds that L'chatchila, no, B'di'evad, yes, and maybe the Mishnah Megillah, that a Cheresh can't, is not kosher likros, maybe could be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and L'chatchila, no, B'di'evad, yes, and nonetheless, you'd say that the Brice of Alokasha, HaRabbi Yehuda, HaRabbi Meir. Okay, so that's where the Gemara does the exact same thing. That we really have two choices. There are two ways of understanding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that you don't need to hear even l'chatchila? Or there's a third opinion, which is not Rabbi Yehuda, which is the in-between position. That's Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Elazar ben Azaria. That l'chatchila, yes, but b'di'avad, you need to hear it, but b'di'avad you yotze without it. Or you could just say, Rabbi Yehuda holds like his Rabbi Reb Elazar ben Azaria, and his Rabbi Meir is the one who's the big makel. He's the one who's really lenient, who says you don't need to hear it at all. Okay. So that's where the Gemara leaves this. Now, the Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Shila, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda Amar Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. So he said that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Elazar ben Azaria, which is the Brice of Birchas HaMazon, and then he says V'halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, and we pask like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, at first glance, that seems a little strange, and the Gemara is going to ask that. What do you mean? You just pasking like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Elazar ben Azaria. What's the difference between these two? Presumably, they don't contradict one another. Why do you need to say both? So the Gemara says the following. Utsricha. We need both of these statements. The I Ashvin and Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. If he had only taught us that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, let's say in our Mishnah, by Kriya Shema, that if you don't hear what you're reading, you Yotze. So I would have said that Hava min afil l'chatchila. Based upon our Mishnah, I would have said Rabbi Yehuda holds l'chatchila, you're allowed to read Kriya Shema that way. He only says Yotze because Rabbi Yossi says lo Yotze. And he doesn't agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Komash malon, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda sh'ama mishum l'Elazar ben Azaria, which is that it's only good b'di'evad. Oh, so then why not just tell us Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda sh'ama mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, which is a b'di'evad, right? Tzarech she'ashmi le'az, no? So the Gemara says no, because v'i ashmi'in and Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda sh'ama mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, if you had told us that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Elazar ben Azaria, that Birchas HaMazon tzarech la'shmi'a le'ozno, Sarach she'ashmi le'ozno. So if you had told us the halachas that way, hava mina sarich ve'en lo takana. I might have thought that what the braisa means, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says that amavarech birchas hamazon. I'm sorry, korei shema sarach she'ashmi le'ozno sarach. And if you don't do it, it's no good. It's not that sarach. And ideally, sarach means it's a necessity, an absolute necessity. I would have thought that. Kamash Malon Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is clear that you're Yotze. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria in the Brisa is clear that l'chatchila you need to be able to hear the Kriya Shema. He's not clear what is b'di'evad. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is clear, explicit Yotze. So that's why Rav Chista in the name of Rav Shila has to tell us Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda and Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda sh'amam rishon Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria to know that l'chatchila you need to do it. And b'di'evad, you are Yotze. Okay. everything so far is maybe mildly confusing, but somewhat consistent. Now we get an interesting statement of Rabbi Yosef, which might in some ways undermine the entire sugya. Not the first statement, the second statement, second version. Amar Rabbi Yosef, machlokas b'kriyashma, the whole machlokas, Rabbi Yosef's commenting on the Mishnah. The
machlokas. Rabbi, where are you? I've lost the place.
We are on Tesvav Amud Beis.
That I got.
Okay, and if you see where the two dots are, you go up from there, about five lines, the beginning of the fifth line. In the middle of the fifth line, before that, Amar Rabbi Yosef. Amar Rabbi Yosef, machlokas kriyashma, the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef, or Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef in the Tanakam in the Mishnah. Let's say Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef. The machlokas is b'kriyashma, whether or not you, let's say, whether or not you yotze if you read it without enunciating, without hearing it. Avol b'shar mitzvos divrei akol lo yotze. By all of the mitzvos, you're not yotze. D'chsiv haskeis ushma Yisrael. So this is a interesting kind of drasha. Haskeis is a very, very rare word. I don't know if you know it occurs more than once. This is found in Parshas Kisavo. And haskeis ushma Yisrael, the Rabbi Yosef in this drasha is understanding that haskeis refers to all mitzvos. That's what the pasuk talks about. Haskeis ushma Yisrael hayom azeh niyesa l'Hashem lokecha v'shamarta es mitzvos Hashem lokecha. So haskeis ushma es mitzvos Hashem lokecha. You have to be able to hear.
Why would that shema?
What's that?
So shouldn't it also? Why would it not also include all mitzvos, including shema?
So that's an excellent question, but we don't have to answer that. The Gemara could have asked that, I think, because the Gemara is about to reject this and turn it on its head. So that's a fair question, but once you get to the second, the Gemara is going to reject this formulation, and I think it could have rejected it for your reason as well. But the Gemara rejects it on different grounds. It's impossible that everybody holds that outside of Kriyashma, everybody holds you're not Yotze if you don't hear it. It's impossible. Why? Because Meisve, we have a Braisa, Lo Yivarech Adam Birchas Amazon Belibo, Ve'im Birech Yotze. We have a Braisa, it's got to be somebody's opinion, that says that if you don't say the Birchas HaMazon in a way that you can hear it, you're still Yotze. So that first version of Rabbi Yosef has to be wrong. But Sam, I think it could be wrong for your reason as well. And then the Gemara says, Ela I itmar hachi itmar. You know how what Rabbi Yosef's statement was? The exact opposite. Amar Rabbi Yosef, machlokes b'kriyashma, b'chsiv shema Yisrael. Avo b'shar mitzvos divrei akol yotze. By Kriyashma, where it says Shema Yisrael, and we say, hear, O Israel. If you take that literally, you have to hear it. And that was the machlokas at the beginning of our sugya, right after the Mishnah, how to read Shema. So there's a machlokas whether or not you actually have to be able to hear what you're reading. Aval b'shar mitzvos, there's no pasuk, therefore you don't need it. So now the Gemara says, the haksiv haskesu Shema Yisrael. So you see that other mitzvos need it also. The Gemara says, no, hahu v'devrei Torah ksiv. That's a reference to Divrei Torah, and it doesn't actually demand actually hearing. It means pay careful attention or something like that. Rashi gives some explanation. So that's how the Gemara concludes. Rabbi Yosef would certainly seem to be in opposition. We showed him talk about it. I don't want to explore this at any length. Rabbi Yosef would seem to be in opposition to Rav Chista's opinion, because Rav Chista earlier understood that there's a distinction between in maybe mitzvahs d'oraisa and a bracha d'rabbanan. That's how we explain Rabbi Yosef's opinion. But according to Rabbi Yosef, nobody will say b'di'eved outside of Kriyashma that you're not yotze, because there's no source for it. And therefore, he completely disagrees with Rav Chista. He doesn't see Rabbi Yosef's principle, even for Rabbi Yosef himself, as something that you can extrapolate from Kriyashma to anything else. It's unique to Kriyashma. It has to be kara b'hishmiya li'osna. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Is there some element of in the hearing part as understanding? I mean, because isn't that the issue with the Heresh? Are they capable of understanding? The hearing, like be attentive, is kind of like, I think, alluding to some of that.
So there's no question. The position of Rabbi Yehuda is that firstly, you can assume for Rabbi Yehuda, even if lahatchila you have to be able to hear it, that's only midrabanan. Midoraisa shema means accept. It means understand.
Yeah.
It's not the pshat certainly isn't listen in the sense of physical listening, but it's what we would call havana saleh. Yes. So that is Rabbi Yehuda's position. Rabbi Yose adds another layer.
Okay.
So we're done with that part of the Mishnah. Now we get to reading Kriya Shema carefully. Kara v'dit lo dikdik v'osi yoseha. So that was a machlokas as well, where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yose flipped positions. Rabbi Yehuda said, you're not Yotze, kara v'lo dikdik v'osi yoseha. And Rabbi Yose says, you are Yotze. Of course, I don't think anybody's going to debate the point here that l'chatchila you're supposed to read carefully. So Amar Rav Tavi, Amar Rav Yoshia, halacha kidivrei shneim lahakel. We paskin like the coolest of both of them. In other words, we paskin if you read Shema and you're not careful, you're not medakdek be'osi yoseha, you're still yotze. And we also paskin if you read Shema and you don't hear what you're reading, you're also yotze. What he doesn't state explicitly, but I assume is still the case, what if you read Shema and you're not careful in how you articulate the words and you can't hear what you're saying, both at the same time, where it's true both if you were to ask Rabbi Yehuda, are you Yotze, he would say no. If you were to ask Rabbi Yose, are you Yotze, he would say no. And if you asked us, are you Yotze, even though all the Tanaim say you're not Yotze, we would say that you are Yotze, because they are, even though they both say you're not Yotze, it's for two different reasons, and we disagree with both of them. You can have that in halacha. You can be sometimes machmir against both and make against both, as long as the positions are not mutually exclusive. There's a statement, a b'risa. It's quoted in a couple of mesechtas in Shas. It's quoted in Rosh Hashanah in the first parak, that harotze lasos kedivrei beis shamai osa kedivrei beis hillel osa. If you want to follow all the positions of beis shamai, this was before we passed in like beis hillel definitively. You want to follow all the positions of beis shamai, that's fine. If you want to follow all the positions of Beis Hillel, that's fine. Kir kule shnehem Russia. If you adopt the kulas of both, you're a Russia. And kir chumre shnehem, the chumres of both, Allah v'kasev omer haksil b'choshe cholech. The fool stumbles in the darkness. So the Bryce is stating that you have to be consistent. You follow the kulas and the chumres of one. But the Gemara explains there is that doesn't actually mean, I would say it doesn't mean you can't be like some people who shop for kulas or like some people who shop for chumras. That's not what the Braisa means. The Gemara explains that refers to some very specific cases where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a conceptual position that applied in area A is a kula one way and in area B is a chumra. And you have to adopt one position or the other. The example that the Gemara cites is how much missing of the skull renders the animal a trefa, and how much missing of the skull means that it's no longer a complete skull and it's not mitame ba'ohel if a kohen enters there. So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have a machlokas. I don't remember who holds which way, what the exact size is. I think one is kinlo machdeach, one is ki'isar, one's a coin, one's some piercing instrument. But Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will hold a consistent position of what is considered a chisaron, something missing. Now, if you say the smaller size, the smaller shear is considered a chisaron, when it comes to hilchos trefos, it's a chumrah. Because if the animal is missing a part of its skull, even the smaller amount, the animal is a trefon, you can't eat it. But when it comes to a kohen entering the ohel, it's a kula now, because once the skull is missing, even the smaller amount, it's no longer mitame ba'ohel, and the kohen can enter. And if you adopt the larger amount, it's exactly the reverse, which is by Tumas Olim, it's a chumrah, because a kohen cannot enter the ohel until the skull is missing the larger amount. But it's also permissible to partake in eating of the animal. It's not a trefa until the skull would be missing the larger amount. So it's in that type of the case, the Gemara says, you cannot adopt the kulei shneihem or the chumrei shneihem because they're mutually exclusive. They're inconsistent. It is, I would say, certainly, even though technically speaking, Kekule Shnehem might be permissible as long as the positions do not depend upon one are not dependent one another. It is there are some Rishonim who say it's usur, and certainly it's spiritually deleterious merely to be shopping for kulas. But nonetheless, fundamentally speaking, this is a perfect example where the Psak has adopted the kulas of both, right? The kula of Rabbi Yehuda that you yotze if you can't hear it, and the kula of Rabbi Yose that if you're not medakdek in the osios, you're yotze. But we paskin that way, not because we're shopping for kulas, but because we believe that Rabbi Yehuda's right on one and Rabbi Yose's right on the other. And even though they both would passel this Shlomazel's Kriyashma, which he didn't say it where he could hear it, I mean, he wasn't medakdek in the osios, nonetheless, they're two conceptually different issues, and therefore it's not a problem that we paskin like both of them. Okay, we'll read one more statement. It's a tangent because it's Rav Tavi in the name of Rav Yoshia, which I'm gathering. I didn't do a Bar Ilan search, but are probably the only place in Shas these statements are the only place this concatenation of names appears. Rav Tavi in the name of Rav Yoshia. It's an agadic statement which I don't fully understand the drasha, but we'll read it. For Am Rav Tavi. Am Rabbi Yoshia, my dechsiv, shalosh hena lo sisbana. Now, this is from a series of sections in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, where it always says shalosh x and then four. So here it's shalosh hena lo sisbana, the arba lo amruhon. I know that the Gemara left out that part of the pasuk, but three are never satisfied, and four says there's enough. Four say there's never enough wealth. And the pasuk continues Sha'ol v'otzer racham, which literally means Sha'ol is the netherworld. I guess the netherworld never gets enough victims, and the otzer racham. It's not clear what this means, but it means the womb being stopped up, meaning where the child can't come out. It's not clear. I'm not going to try to explain what this or claim that I fully understand what the pasuk means. But the Gemara just asked the following. Reb Yoshe asked the following question. What's the connection between the netherworld and the womb? Just as a rechem, the womb, brings in, meaning allows to enter, let's say the sperm, and it's motzi, a child, so too Sheol brings in and it also brings out, meaning it swallows its victims and eventually spits them out. Meaning, as the Gemara is about to say, Chiyas HaMesim. V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer. U'marechem shemachnisim bo b'chashai. The rechem, we put things in silently, quietly, meaning bitzina, right? That's tashmish. So there, still, motzin mimenu b'kole kolos. When the child comes out, Baruch Hashem, most of the time, the child's screaming, your voices. It goes in quietly, but comes out with a bang. So sh'ol shemachnisim bo b'kole kolos. The netherworld, when we bury a person, it's with people screaming and crying. Eino din shemotzi menu b'kole kolos. Certainly, when coming out of Sheol, they're going to be, it'll be with great joy, calling of joy. Mikan tshuva la'omrim ein tchias ha'mesim min ha'Torah. This is the, I know that if you're not a believer in the first place, this is probably not going to convince you. You have to believe in scripture, but just not believe in certain interpretation, certain received interpretations that are not part of scripture. And therefore, this pasuk is comparing Sheol to Rechem, which demonstrates, of course, that there must be Tchias Hames. So again, this statement is quoted here because it's Rav Tavi in the name of Yoshia. And then next week, which will be the last year until after Pesach, we'll have to discuss this week what will be Pesach shir. Probably it should be about Pesach, Lenny, right? So I guess, yeah, I have to give a Pesach shir. So after Pesach, God willing, we will resume with the next part of this Gemara, which deals with one of my favorite topics of being careful when you read Kriyat Shema, what types of things you're supposed to be medakdek in. So it's a very, very practical lesson. So that will, God willing, be the first Sunday that follows the whole Pesach Yom Tov. That should be, I guess, 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks from today. So next week, we'll have to have a shiur about the Hilchos Pesach to be a specific topic to be determined before then. All right, and I will get my Blin editor. I will share source sheets beforehand so that they can be distributed. We can post them in the chat, but some people, I find it easier to print. So that will be for next Sunday, God willing. Any questions?
What time Rabbi,
this particular thing you just said about Sheol and the Rechem, is that mentioned anywhere else in the Gemara?
What, you mean the comparison?
The discussion.
I mean, I don't know if Rav Tevi's statement appears in Parachelek.
Right. And I still don't understand why here. I didn't understand because of Tevi. That's the reason.
Yeah, because the previous statement was Amar Rav Tevi, Amar Rav Yoshia, Halacha Kedevei Shteim Lahakel. That's about our Mishnah. So right. I'm guessing this is the only other chain. So it's found in Parachelek in the series of proofs to Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah. But the Kamer Yoshia they quoted here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.